Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course,
but,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got in my definition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our mountain west matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too? And you rant about the podcast too.
That's right. We are back for another day to
start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss the grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our names. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love the podcast too.
All right, I guess we're here. Chris, do you hear me right now? Are we going good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Something, I got double play. Sorry, folks, I got double play and said the timer was up, so I started talking, and we're back for another show. Quick turnaround.
Wait, you mean at this point you haven't memorized our theme song at this point?
Well, no, it was at the point. When I'm on the studio thing here, it gives you the timer. Here's how long the audio clip goes. I see it going, and it's at the point where, because you have two parts where it sounds like it's going to end, like it repeats itself, as most songs do. And so I start talking, like, oh, wait. And then my webpage freezes on me, so I don't know what's going on, so I figured we'd connect, and here we are. And this is the show, folks. This is what you're listening to, Mountain West Connection. Technical difficulty on my end for some reason, but we're back. Good morning, I should say. It's
good morning.
Evening. Good morning. This is interesting for us. There's sun still out at the moment instead of being nighttime. And we're back, Boise State, right? Is that what we're talking about, I assume? Is that the plan?
Yeah. And I'm gonna go ahead and start off with a trivia fact brought to us by Jason Kirk this morning.
Oh, what is
it? Mr. Kirk wrote an excellent article this morning saying the 15 college football teams with 100 wins since current recruits started paying attention.
Since you started paying
about
attention?
11 seasons or so.
Recruiting, you said?
Yeah. So we figure that we figure that 2015 high school prospects first became aware of sports in kindergarten or first grade, which would have been around for 2003.
Okay.
So FBS teams with 100 or more wins from 2003 to 2013 are Boise State, which we're going to be talking about today, comes in first with 125.
Give them all the national titles. They deserve all the national titles, right?
Pretty much. Followed by LSU and Oklahoma at 117, Ohio State at 115, as well as USC. Texas at 109, Virginia Tech with 107, Oregon with 106, Alabama at 105. They ain't even near the top five, Paul. Georgia for 104. Wisconsin with 103, and then Florida State with 102, and Auburn rounding out the top 15 with 100. Guess what? No Miami, no Michigan, no Nebraska, no Notre Dame, no Tennessee. Boise State's on there. It's the reason why we're getting more recruits.
Yeah, that helps if you win on the field. And also, it seems somewhat odd, a former conference mate, well, a Mountain West, no BYU either. I thought they'd be in the top 10 right there for the past decade because they've been pretty good in the Mountain West. TCU's in there. They are the former Mountain West partner. I am kind of surprised.
But you have to think about 11 seasons here, right? If you're going 11 seasons, you should be at least averaging
9 wins.
10 wins a season to hit that, you know.
Yeah, 49. More than that's true. So they had a
BYU has never hitting that 10-win season with the exception of
three or four years.
I
thought it was a 15-year period. My mistake on that. When you said 2015 recruits, I was thinking a 15-year period. I now pulled up the website here.
Some of us aren't as gifted to follow sports at 3 years old, Jeremy.
I know. You said 2015. I'm like, that's a long time. You're right. But yeah, TCU, Boise State, they are. And then I go in the comments. Boise ain't even a state, Paul.
Oh, it's too bad. We're going to make math.
Yeah, Boise State is an excellent team. And again, this is the Mountain West Connection show, MWC Connection. Jeremy here, Chris hanging out over there in Las Vegas for, like I said, an early show today. So maybe we'll get some more people to listen. I don't know if we'll get our faithful live listeners at this time of the day because some people have their jobs at this time of the day. Mine's not till later, so... Lucky for us, you can work from home, apparently, seems like, some days, Chris. But here we go. Boise State. This has to be a quick show, because I actually got a jet. We're not going to spend an hour on this, even though we'd love to talk a ton of Boise State. So let's get going at the top. What's your main question about Boise State? They have new head coach, losing quarterbacks, transfers, guys to NFL. What's your biggest big-picture view of the questions they may have?
Well, my biggest question here is, you know, I think with Brian Harsin coming in, I don't actually have any questions of the coach. I know he's going to step in and he's going to do what he's going to do best because that seems to be the path of all Boise State coaches for the last 15 years. I think my biggest question is the wide receiving core. Because after Matt Miller, after Shane Williams Rhodes, who do you have?
Do you have a tight end? Isn't Dallas Burroughs still there?
Dallas Burroughs is still there. He will be playing his senior year, but he's a wide receiver. He's not a tight end.
I thought he played. I apologize. Is he a guy who could be a wide receiver to be that third guy?
He could. I think he could be that good. That third guy. Actually, I think he could be more of a slot guy. I'm thinking though. Troy Ware played some snaps last year. Not too many, but he had good receiving numbers for when he was out there, was averaging 9.5 yards when he caught the ball. So, but that
normally
81%.
Normally, that's how you get yards when you catch the ball.
Yes.
You're not getting yards when you drop it there.
But we got a slew of tight ends. Absolute slew. We got two redshirt freshman tight ends, both 3 stars. We got Chase Blakely, the true freshman, 4-star coming in. Maybe he'll be a starting second tight end. That'd be nice.
My big question.
So I'm not worried about the tight ends. I'm worried about the receivers.
You're not concerned about the offensive line that loses all 5 starters and has only one person on Phil Steele's all-conference team as a 4th-team member in a Reese, I don't know how to say his last name, we get Reese Odenbaugh. That's all you got. That's my big concern. You have 0 returning offensive linemen, a quasi-new quarterback, even though Grant Hedrick played half the year. I think he'll be fine for the most part. He's not like a brand new guy, but you got to protect the quarterback. You got to protect Jay Ajayi to run the ball. The most senior guy you got. Well, I guess you have Marcus Henry. He didn't start because Matt Paradise is in the NFL now. And he had 13 career starts, but that's my biggest concern. You got to protect the guy. You got to protect the line or protect the quarterback, protect Jay, give him room to run. That's my big concern, and that's a big one when you're rebuilding a new offensive line.
Well, see, here's the thing. So for a lot of the season, for a lot of the last couple of seasons, Matt Paradise got injured a couple times. Spencer Gerkey got injured a couple times. So those career starts, I think, are a little bit deceiving as well. Because, yeah, you're right. Marcus Henry as a center, he will be your leading guy in the offensive line. But all these other guys who have less than 10 starts under them, they were still playing. Reese Odhiambo, 8 starts. Travis Averill, 3 starts. Steven Baguette, 2 starts. And where am I getting this information? Of course, Bill Connolly's preview.
Of course, yes. That's what I'm looking at as well.
Yeah. But then you see Chris Tozer and Mario Yaku. Both these guys have 0 starts, but they've played. No, Chris Tozer won't be here this year. But Mario Iacu, zero career starts, but he was playing. So, really, what's going to happen, I think, is you're going to have a young squad, but I think because, you know, Boise State has a tendency to rotate guys out, and with your offensive line, they're going to be, you know, yeah, a little inexperienced, but these are big guys. They got one job, and the one job is to protect the quarterback. Your offensive linemen usually have a very quick learning curve.
It's true. Plus, that's my biggest concern, even though it is an issue, but Boise State always seems to have the offensive line rebuilt. They have multiple guys take an NFL every couple of years. So they should theoretically be fine. So outside of maybe your issues wide receiver, my offensive line, with Harsin come in to maybe reboot what they did with him during when Dan Hawkins was there in the first couple years of Chris Peterson, or no, Harsin may not have been there, but when he was there with Chris Peterson, are you assuming the offense is going to just go back to what it was, better than last year?
If it's not going to be better than last year, it's going to be more entertaining than last year.
Okay. All right, so as I said, this is going to be a quicker show. Is there any other offense? I want to get through a schedule a little bit. Is there any concern if Jay Ajayi goes down? Because he had not just necessarily been hurt or injured, he likes the pickle juice, which helps him alleviate whatever that does. But backup running back, if Ajayi's been known to fumble, and he's been pulled multiple times. I know it was under Peterson, but he'd get the hook for dropping the ball too many times. And there's And Aaron Balthazar transferred as well, so he would have. I thought he was just as good. So what are they going to do? I know it's Devin Davis, but...
Jack Fields looked fairly reliable last year. I think Devon Demas is going to be your number two back. Once again, limited action, 21 rushes, but he already had 125 yards. He was averaging 6 yards a carry. Charles Bertoli, I completely forgot about that guy. Also, you know, sophomore, really explosive back. Saw limited time last year, but when we did see him, he was extremely effective. I think those guys are going to be there. Jack Fields, of course, will be there. Derek Thomas, senior, he's going to be there, but I think he's going to take more of kind of a guidance role rather than an actual starting role because we haven't seen enough of him.
So if you were to grade the offense 1 to 10 at this point, where would you put it at in comparative to – well, let's make it relative toward the conference itself. Where do you – like a ranking of 1 to 10, where do you think they're at or should be at?
I'm going to say they're going to be – I think they're at a 7.5 right now.
Do you have an issue? Quarterback, Grant Hendricks, the only returning guy. Patty's down in, Central Florida now. Southwick's gone. No experience.
Yeah, but see, Hendrick hasn't had injury problems.
I'm just saying, just the depth in general, not that
guys, yeah, no. Hey, yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and we're not going to really get a chance unless Hendrick goes down. We're not going to get a chance to see any of the other guys play until scrolling down here. Until probably, I can't even say Colorado State. There's no FCS teams that we can see backup quarterbacks. We might not see any quarterback until, I don't know, Connecticut, Air Force?
Possibly.
Lafayette, if we're blowing them out.
Well, Lafayette also lost their starting quarterback, so there goes that
for
the year.
I'm not exactly worried about a quarterback having to step in and do his job, because when Harsin was here, they lost a senior quarterback with nobody really to back him up. At the end of the 2007 season, then the 2008 season, they started a red shirt freshman who had never played before.
That guy?
And,
Kellen Moore, that guy, right?
Yeah, that guy. So Boise State has always had no issues with new quarterbacks. I think last year between Southwick and Hendrick, I think it was just kind of off, but I think it was the system that we were running too.
Pistol, no motion. It is bland for most of the year. They picked it up after the Washington game and a little bit, a few other games, but it was just Fresno State game looked pretty good. It just wasn't what it was. So hopefully if he even brings that back, because doing motion, like, it's kind of not off topic, but when Vince Young was a quarterback at Tennessee in the Titans, the only reason he was any good is because when Norm Chow was his offensive coordinator for the Titans, he would implement all this movement, pre-snap movement, which would help you find adjustments, find mismatches, and take advantage of what you have. And plus it shows the defense has to show a little bit, tip their hand. So that's the point of doing the pre-snap stuff. You defense has to adjust. You're going to blitz. You can't – if you have a corner blitz and the guy goes off to the side, or he may show what he's doing or something along those lines. The linebackers may shift. The defensive line may shift, or defensive back takes a step back or turns his hip a certain way, and you see something. That's what this does, and that's what you need to have, and that's what Boise State's done for years when Harsin was there before, and that's how they're so successful. Find a mismatch, put a guy in motion, and you go from there.
Yeah. Now, going to the defensive side of the ball, you ready for this?
I am ready, yes.
You are ready?
Maybe. Let me wait. With.
I think defense is going to be a returning strength again.
Even losing to Marcus Lawrence, the sack master?
Well, here's the thing. Lawrence was your pretty much strongest rush. I mean, the reason why the guy had 10.5 sacks, you know, was because he was the guy rushing. Nobody else had near that many sacks. The closest one, Bo Martin, who's going to be a senior this year, and I fully expect him to start. He had 3.5 sacks. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence was basically, the best way Connolly puts it, a one-man rushing machine. Now you're going to have guys who have starts under their back, not only starts, but they're also going to be playing. You know the defense is going to be rotating out. And with Marcel Yates as, you know, the defensive coordinator, I expect this team to be much more attacking up front.
So, why am I saying that? That makes a lot of sense. Good point. I just think you lose Lawrence. Is it going to open up? Because with Lawrence, typically he was double-teamed. He had to work a lot harder. If there's not that guy right from the start who, at least initially in the first couple of games, you're going to fear we have to double him, it's going to create a lot of one-on-one matchups. And then we'll see who's going to stand out. Maybe by even that Ole Miss game, week one, we'll see who's going to be the guy on that defensive line or those linebackers. It's that.
Right. And if you want my opinion of who's going to be that guy.
Yeah, who is it?
It's going to be the youngin. It's going to be Gabe Perez. He's sized very similar to DeMarcus Lawrence. Guy's 6'4", 235, so he's more of a lightweight defensive end. But, played in 12 games last year, had 25 tackles, 7 tackles for losses, and 2.5 sacks, which is ranked 3rd on the team.
All right, so that very possibility. What about the defensive backs? If Phil Steele did name one Boise State defensive back to his first team in, Dante
Jeremy
Detroit. What was that?
Was that Jeremy Eon?
No, that's Dante Dion.
Oh, really?
I own the other guy, Jeremy, he's the third team. So there's been issues last year. Actually, they have 3 guys, my mistake. This is going to be a string. I apologize. I was looking at the offense. Like, where are these defensive backs? Yeah, they have Darren Thomas, Jeremy was Lone, and then Dante Dion. Because that was with the Mountain West, the way they throw the ball, yeah, you had Derek Carr last year, David Fells, all these guys swinging the ball around, Brett Smith at Wyoming. The quarterback spot's taking a step back. But the offense is still going to be wide open. And if those guys are going to be
right,
as good as they say, it's going to be a strength. Because last year, there were issues. Look at when they played – I don't care. Yeah, you're playing Derek Carr in Fresno, but still. You got to be able to stop the pass eventually. And these teams, Fresno is still going to throw the ball. Wyoming, depending, probably not with Craig Bull there, but their teams are going to throw the ball. San Diego State likes to throw the ball. Teams like – Hawaii is going to throw the ball. And if these guys are as good as advertised, projected here from early on until still, that's going to be just another advantage to help those guys up front. Because if you could play, I'm not familiar exactly what Boise did last year, if they're single coverage stuff or if they were zone or had linebackers drop on, but if they have these 3 of the 4 being top of the Mountain West, they can do single coverage and let their front 7 do what they want. And that's a win-win if that's a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're going to have a very good combination next year. Deani, Ewan, and Douglas are going to lead. The seniors are going to lead them, I think, right behind them. So Jeremy Ewan's a safety. I think your other safety is going to be Darian Thomas. Dante mm-hmm. Dion and Brian Douglas are going to be your cornerbacks. I also think, depending on what the defensive scheme is going to look like, if you're going to have a 4-3 or 3-4, maybe a 4-2-5. Corey Bell, I think, might fill up that. He's listed as a nickelback, and so if they keep that nickelback, he's going to be that nickel. He's going to be that, linebacker, kind of safety, hybrid guy, and I think he could be extremely effective.
So let me ask the same question, since you're the more Boise State person than I am a bit. Where, same thing, 1 to 10, where had you ranked your defense?
Right now I'm going to rank their defense. I'm going to rank their defense about an 8. I think the defense is going to be stronger than last year. Yeah, you lose DeMarcus Lawrence, but now you've got, once again, no-name guy who could easily step up and just completely dominate. And once they find out that you can dominate, that leaves, they'll leave him, doubled up maybe for another guy to kind of step in and just take the charge.
You make it sound so easy. There's going to be guys that come in and get double-digit sacks regardless. Is it that easy?
I don't think it's that easy, but I think that, and my knowledge, I have to look back on this, but I feel that there's been at least one guy, there's been one guy every single year for about the past 4 or 5 years, ever since Boise State's had this revamping of defense, that has gotten at least 10 sacks on the year.
Well, we know at least the past 2 years, it's been DeMarcus Lawrence. He transferred in sophomore, junior year, got double-digit sacks, and I'm trying to look it up right now as we go, but it's a possibility. Their defense, it's been good in the past six. When do you think it'd be about 5 years ago? But then they're telling Kellen Moore, the defense really stepped up a bit, even though the offense, because they're winning games like 40-10. It wasn't just offensive shootout like they did versus the Fresno game they lost. They were beating teams 50-15, 40-10. They're just crushing teams.
Right. And see, and once again, before DeMarcus Lawrence, you had Shea McClellan.
That's right, yes.
Who was a beast as well. So that's what I said.
He had only 7 in 2011, but still.
Oh, he only had 7 in 2011?
Yeah, just 7 sacks there for him. No, but I get your point. They've always had somebody in the top of the league close to being up there, whether it's in the WAC or the Mountain West. But all right, let's move on to the schedule. Defense, I'm confident defense will be fine because they've proven the past, even with the new staff. I don't think it'll be – well, I think the front seven might take a small step back, but the secondary is going to be much improved and be their strength. So let's get their schedule. We already talked to the guys at Red Cup Rebellion, Bob, the other day about Ole Miss. He thinks it's going to be a close win for Mississippi there. I think I'm going to take a step back because maybe we're just thinking too much to say, oh, they're going to go undefeated, 12-0, all this super hype and say they're amazing type of team. We already discussed Ole Miss. You mentioned that you think they're going to win that game, a close one, in Georgia.
I think if the ghost of Jay Cutler, I can't remember his name, Bob.
Yeah. Bob.
If Bob said that, Ole Miss was going to win 28-27, I think Boise State is most likely, not most likely, but is going to flip that around 28-27 to Boise State. I think that's really a good score. I think that's about where it's going to be. What are you saying, really?
Well, no, I think it's going to be close, too. No, maybe I'm
misspoke. But I honestly think that the score is, that score is correct.
The 9-point line is ridiculous. Because Ole Miss, they're going to be good in the SEC. Well, yeah, and they play in the SEC West. They'll be tough. So they'll probably finish with Bob's hope was one more win, so 8 regular season wins. And Boise State is going to be one of their tougher teams. Yeah, they got LSU. They have Alabama. They have whoever, Texas A&M, they're playing the SEC West. They have a tough schedule. You got Memphis.
But if there's a game most likely Boise State will lose, it's the Ole Miss game. But see, it's funny to note that you know, nobody's really ranking Boise in the top 25. You know, even Athlon Sports, the link that I posted this morning, they're having them ranked at 46, but they're predicting them to go 11-2. So it's going back to that 10-win season. And even Matt, when we had Matt on a few weeks ago, when we did our giant conference preview, he even said, you know, they're most likely going 11-1 or so on and so forth. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they're going to go 12-0. I'm just trying to see what team are they going to slip up. Are they going to slip up against Ole Miss, or is it going to come later down the line?
Here's
you know,
what
right
I think.
Now they are nursing a 2-game losing streak to San Diego State.
That's right, yes. Here's games that concerned me. Ole Miss, obviously. Colorado State's growing on me for some reason, even though they lost a million running backs this offseason, and they lost a couple like Shaq Bell to the NFL. They're, even that, McElwain's doing amazing things there in Colorado State, there in Fort Collins. That game concerns me somewhat, because last year Colorado State was reasonably close to Boise State. UConn, they'll crush them, and no problem. Louisiana, they should be fine with, even though they're probably the Sun Belt leaders. The game that really concerned me after, like, Ole Miss, Colorado State a little bit, you got to say at Nevada, Fresno, BYU, and San Diego State, and Utah State as well, obviously. But all those are at home except for the Nevada game. So that's why my confidence level is very high for what Boise State can do. I'm backing off of predicting any 12-0, but 10 wins should be almost a given, almost a given. So based on where
yeah,
they play
gonna,
the teams.
I'm going to, yeah. See, and,
because
yeah, I'm,
Nevada.
I really.
Yeah, Nevada's a tough one, man. Cody Fajardo's back. Brian Pulliam's back for a second year. He knows what he's doing. Maybe that game, probably.
Yeah, who is Cody Fajardo throwing to?
That's a good question.
They're gonna be using the pistol. You know this.
Well,
but,
obviously, it's a run based offense.
I mean, this isn't. You know, I don't. I mean, they're gonna have their biggest threat next year, and this is a huge threat. Is gonna be Hassan Henderson. That's what I'm saying. I don't think the Nevada game will be an issue. Of course, I've said that in the past, but honestly, if you want to see my biggest slip-ups for this year, it's either going to be Fresno State, BYU, or Ole Miss.
You're not concerned about Utah State?
I'll be concerned about Utah State when both teams are 11-0 and it comes down to the last game of the year.
That would be amazing.
It would, and it would set up for a fantastic season. I mean, that...
Oh, jeez, I'm going nuts. If that's the case, depending if I'm working or not, I gotta get to Boise that weekend. Depending on my schedule, I may have to finagle a few things to get down there. So, you say San Diego State's a concern because Rocky Long's had the best the past couple of years. It's back in Boise, and that game 2 years ago was more of a special teams issue for a loss than it really was as an offensive-defensive issue for the most part. And I think there was a turnover that led to something, if I recall. So are you sticking with 12-0?
Yeah, this is going to sound really stupid if I stick with 12-0, isn't it?
It's also June 20th, pal, so don't forget that. We will have another chance. We'll do another big preview of the week of the season or something to give our official prediction. So these are not in pen. They're not in pencil, but not in pen either. It's kind of that marker you can scratch out, I guess.
I'm going to do 12-0.
Wow. What do you think their worst case scenario would be then?
10-2.
Really? 10-2?
Yep. With the loss versus Ole Miss and a loss, I'm going to throw in Utah State.
Wow. I'm not going to say, I think they, I, here's the thing, best case scenario, obviously, it's a complicated issue. If you say best case scenario, it's obviously the best any team could do, which is 12-0. I'm just having second thoughts about just a few different things. Like the offensive line really freaks me out. Not having a third receiver is an issue. Replacing DeMarcus Lawrence. I'm okay more with the defense being fine, but the offense, Just because the line, that's the most important part. If you can't protect anything, you got nothing on offense. So I'm thinking the bet, I would love to see them 12-0. I just don't see them. It's so hard to do it. My best case scenario, I have them going, it's tough to decide. If I'm going right now on June 20th, best case scenario is 11-1. No, I'm going 10-2, best case scenario, as for what I realistically think they can do. And they're probably going to lose to Nevada and Utah State. And then if I flip around to my worst case scenario, you don't like this because already my best case is your worst case. 8-4. Losing to like Ole Miss, BYU, Nevada, Utah State, maybe San Diego State. Right now, I'd go 8-4 as the worst case, 10-2 best case right now.
Interesting. See, I don't see them losing to Nevada.
I just, part of my reasoning, it's on the road, which is Nevada is very one of the most difficult places to play. They've had issues there before.
And Boise State has struggled there the last few years.
And Cody Fajardo. Tell me this, who drew the quarterback, Cody Fajardo or Grant Hendrick? It has to be Fajardo.
It's got to be Fajardo, but if I've got weapons to throw to, here's the thing. Hendrick has weapons to throw to.
But you just questioned the wide receiver core 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but that's past Matt Miller and Shane Williams-Rose. You don't understand. The 1-2 guys are set.
I agree with you.
Fajardo has one guy right now that we know of.
But again, it's a run-based.
And that's because he made a huge impact of his freshman year.
Yeah. I get you. I don't know, maybe it's me overdoing Nevada a bit, but like last year I did. But I think, we got to wrap some thing and get going shortly here to get my day going on the rest of what I have planned. But here's the thing. I would love to see them go 12-0, but it's not going to happen, man. Come on. Unless something crazy happens, really good. They had the schedule for it. I'm not going to deny that. Their toughest road game, I guess the Ole Miss game's tougher than Nevada, I guess, technically. But they have the schedule, Fresno at home, BYU at home, San Diego State at home, Utah State at home. I think they can win the division. Do you think they can beat Utah State to represent the Mountain Division in the title game?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to make that prediction yet, but I'm leaning that I'm going to say it's either them or Utah State. That's really. Is there anybody else to challenge them in the Mountain?
No.
Unless you really like Wyoming.
I really like Wyoming, but I don't think they're in a position to go undefeated.
You just want to be the one to write the headline, Cowboys Go Bowling with B-O-H-L.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to let Ben take care of that.
Just true. All right, do you have anything else to add? Sorry, that was a weird side go to end the show right there. So anything else to add to Boise State that we should know about or any other tidbits you want to toss out there?
It should be fun again.
Oh, that's a good slogan. Is that their slogan? It should be fun again? Question mark or exclamation point?
No, exclamation point.
Okay, that's good. I hope people appreciate this shorter show this afternoon, morning, whenever you listen to it. Chris is predicting 12-0 or 10-2. I'm at 10-2, 8-4. Or really quick, I forgot to ask you if you feel Boise's going to the title game, are they going to win the title game?
Yes.
Because it'll be, in all likelihood, a rematch versus either San Diego State, Fresno, or Nevada. Yeah.
You're way too high on Nevada.
I am? You think so?
Yes.
We'll get to that in our Nevada show down the road. Maybe I am. But I like four-year starting quarterback, proven offense with partially proven offense. Fajardo's fine. But they need John Jackson, the other running backs. If they get those couple running backs stepping up, they are good to go, man. I'm telling you. They'll be perfect. All right, but that just does wrap up our show today. We will have probably next couple days we'll be talking to Colorado State person/preview show. And because We have a plethora of Colorado State guys to draw from for their next show, since that apparently is our most popular position that people ought to write about.
Yeah, who knew Colorado State had like a huge fan base?
Yeah, a lot of people that. So thanks for everybody for listening. Check us out at MWTConnection.com. Check out the new morning hike, which had vacuum tips today. Did you like that, Chris?
Yeah, I did.
Life Hacker is the best. But check us out there, MWTConnection.com. Find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, pretty much any podcasting platform. We're there. And we'll see everybody next time to talk some Colorado State football.